Good morning and welcome. I am Andrew Palmieri. I'm a member here. The stalls with their piece, puzzle pieces that all fit together symbolize that every person here fits into the body of Christ. We welcome everyone. Feel free to come get a stall here on the altar rail or on the last pew. Where is a sign of our Christian hospitality? We especially welcome newcomers. This is a brochure about the mission and ministry of this congregation. We hope the welcome team will find you to give you one, or pick one up on the table at the back of the sanctuary. In your bulletin, you will find a yellow slip like this. Please fill it out, your name, and if you are new, we appreciate having your contact information. Drop it in the offering place. And on the other side is a prayer request. If you fill that out, then give it to the ushers when they walk through the aisles before prayer time and will be read. The abbreviated order of worship is in the bulletin, and details will appear on the screens. We have restrooms and childcare through this door. After the service, you can join us for a conversation in the gallery room behind me after the service. Go out either door. And remember, we have a safe sanctuary policy. Children should always be accompanied by an adult. Here are some upcoming opportunities to put your faith into action and help build fellowship and community. Stephanie, read something. That's what it says.
Okay, just ignore that.
Okay. We have a very special worship service on Sunday, July 14th that you won't want to miss. It is the anniversary of our decision to become a reconciling church, which means we are open to all people. J.J. Warren will be speaking, and you will remember how dynamic he is. Come and bring a friend. And when you're involved on Sundays, remember we have a Thursday worship service in the gathering room behind me. It's at 6. Also, for worship next Sunday, since Pastor Alicia is on vacation, we won't have communion, but we will have it on July 14th. And now let us continue our worship.
Good morning, everyone. I just have to make an announcement, but I'm Jackie Sadowski, in case you don't know who I am, and I will be your sing-along person this morning, as well as the liturgist, so you'll see me all morning, okay? Just to explain, it's become a tradition here at University Church during the summer months to include a sing-along of our favorite hymns into our worship service. And starting today, we will take 3 requests of your favorite hymn each week. Usually we sing the first verse of each hymn, and if someone does have a different verse they want to sing, we can do that. To avoid duplication of hymns each week, there will be a list up on the screen that will tell you what songs have already been sung so that we won't sing the same hymns over and over. Okay? So with that, first request. Yes, Peter. 479. Also on the screen. Oh, no, it's not. Teach the song with all my soul, for I got it.
Oh,
Someone else? 4-3-1. Think you can hear me? Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. With God our Creator, children all are we. Let us walk with each other in perfect harmony. Let peace begin with me. Let this be the moment now. With every step I take, let this be my solemn vow. To take each moment and live each moment in peace eternally. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Okay, last one. 98. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded a life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gates that all faith go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things we have done. If you didn't have a chance to do your favorite, come back next week.
Good morning, everyone. We have one more quick announcement, and then we will continue in worship.
Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to let you know that a much-loved tradition at UUMC is returning this summer. So mark your calendars for July 28th at 5:30. We're going to have our potluck and film watching. So we'll start out the meal, we'll share a meal together, and then we are going to watch the film Paris to Pittsburgh, and so that's featuring the voices of forward-thinking leaders trying to fight global climate change with local solutions. So it's a good chance to talk about some really important issues and to take action and to just enjoy one another. So please come. It will be July 28th at 5:30, a Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning again. I am Pastor Alicia Wood. I am honored to say I am the pastor here. And this week I realized that I am completing my fourth year with you today. Yay. So tomorrow I begin my fifth year with all of you, and I am celebrating by going on vacation. I will see you the following week. So I'm excited and about what our fifth year together holds. I believe it's only good things. So come and keep joining me in this great thing called ministry. Well, you may have noticed the doors. closed doors remind us of being locked out. And while we may not want to think about it, also locking others out. This summer, we are going to be thinking about how it feels to be an outsider. As we focus on our time together, I wonder, have you ever felt like a third wheel? Life on the outside of the in crowd can make it difficult to fit in or to feel at home. This week, Jesus finds faith in an unexpected place and proclaims, "What makes us worthy is not whether we are in or out." As the church, we are called to affirm the worth of all people. How will we welcome the worthy and tear down the division between the inside and the out?
You join me in the call to worship. At University Church, everyone is worthy. Please stand in the spirit and join me in the call to worship. With friends and strangers, with family and neighbors, we gather. With faith reaching out to touch, with hearts straining to trust, we hope. With word and wonder, with silence and song, we wait. Remain standing, and we will do a passing of the peace before you settle back in your seats. Take the time to connect with the people around you, saying, "May the peace of Christ be with you," and share a handshake and a hug or a high five.
Will the children please come forward and join me as they are comfortable? And as they do, we're going to learn a new song.
We're going to start a new song to welcome the children. It's "God Welcomes All." And Stephen, you can go ahead and flip to that. I'll sing this with Dennis one time through, and then we'll sing it twice together as a congregation.
God welcomes all, conjurers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends.
I never sang it with the organ before.
God welcomes all, strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends. God welcomes all, strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends.
Okay, good morning, everyone. We were having a talk up here as you were singing, and we have great things going on because school has wrapped up and some folks have graduated from school. Which you graduated from sixth grade?
No.
Fifth grade. And so there is a graduation ceremony for graduating from fifth grade, and a lot of good things happening up here. So today I wanted to talk to you about this book that I knew as a kid, like 100 years ago, when I was a kid. There was this book called Warm Fuzzies. And so it was a book about a town that whenever they that when people were, I think, 3 years old or something like that, they got a bag full of warm fuzzies. And when someone was feeling sad or down, or maybe they felt like an outsider and they couldn't get through the door into the in crowd or whatever it might be, they would go to someone and ask them, "Could I have a warm fuzzy?" And the person would open it up their bag and give them a warm fuzzy. And guess what a warm fuzzy represented? What can you imagine a warm fuzzy represent? Oop, I just hit a button. No? Okay. What do you think a warm fuzzy meant or represented? Well, I will tell you. Well, good. The question was put back to me. What is a warm fuzzy? So a warm fuzzy is basically something, saying something nice. So, for example, if I came up to you and said, "I need a warm fuzzy. Could I have a warm fuzzy, please?" You might say, "You're so nice." Something like that. So it's a compliment or saying something nice so that people feel affirmed and they don't feel like an outsider. So I have a warm fuzzy in my office, and I couldn't find it this morning. It's a big puffball that's warm and fuzzy. But as a child, when I was growing up, people would refer to a warm fuzzy, and it means something nice, saying something nice or doing something nice. So can you imagine what you might say to someone if they needed a warm fuzzy or they needed to hear that they were cared for? Can you imagine what you might say to someone? Any thoughts? Yes?
I like your dress.
I like your dress. That's nice. What else? I'm thinking even something like, "I'm your friend," or "let's spend time together," or "I like you," or something like that. Saying something about how they are a good person. You know, you always have such nice things to say, or you're so positive, things like that. Any other thoughts? All right, so I feel like that's our job this week, maybe even beyond this week, to when someone looks like they're sad or down, you have an idea over there? Do you have an idea? Do you want to share it? Okay. So as we go through our week or beyond this week, if someone is looking sad or down, give them a warm fuzzy. Give them something nice to say. Something you have an idea, something nice about them, something that you like about that person. What are you thinking?
Like your necklace.
Thank you. So that's another way you can say this. I like your necklace. So I'm thinking that we can be friends to a lot of people and bring a lot of people up when they're feeling sad if we share warm fuzzies. And we want them to not feel like an outsider, to feel like they're cared for by all of us. So will you pray with me? Loving God, we are grateful for the idea and concept of sharing your love through warm fuzzies. Please give us ideas and ways in which we can share your love and warm fuzzies throughout this week and beyond. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So you can go sit with whoever brought you, or you can stay at the coloring table if that's okay with your family? You're going to sit there? Good.
Jesus explained that God cares for even the tiniest part of creation. And so, of course, God cares for each one of you. Please stand in body or spirit and join me in singing "His Eye is on the Sparrow." It can be found in your hymnal, the small hymnal, "Faith We Sing," 2146, or on the... We don't? Oh, okay, so you have to read it on the screen. You're throwing me all kinds of curves today. Okay. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus Please be seated. The Psalms were written 3,000 years ago, but the despair sometimes expressed by the writers make it feel like they were written yesterday. We will be reading Psalm 4 responsively. It is number 741 in your pew hymnal and is displayed on the screen. The song response is the first line of the familiar hymn, "There is a balm in Gilead." Answer me when I call, O God of my right. Search me. How long, O people, shall my honor suffer shame? But now that the Lord has set apart the righteous as God's own,
the Lord hears my call.
There is a bond. But do not sin. Offer right sacrifices.
And put your trust in the Lord and be
there are many who say, "Oh, that we might see some good." You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. God calls us to be balm for our community and each other. In today's reading from the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus meets a Roman centurion, a Gentile who begs for his servant's healing. Many interesting things are happening here. A non-Jew, a Roman, is asking Jesus to heal his servant. The centurion states his own unworthiness, but begs for the servant's sake. The Jewish elders, who would later call for Jesus' crucifixion, quietly acknowledged his power and divinity by asking him to do it. Finally, Jesus places the faith of his Gentile above that of his own people. Imagine how shocking that was to hear. I am reading from verses 1 through 10. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us. And Jesus went with them, but when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man of set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and the slave does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found that the slave was in good health. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning again. What a powerful scripture. I'd like to begin our time together with a poem. This is a poem, Stay Close to the Cracks, by Christine Sein. And it is a response to Leonard Cohen's song, Anthem, which she reminds us that there is indeed a crack in everything. But this is not a reason for despair, but rather for hope, because this is indeed how the light gets in. Listen closely and remember where you will meet God. Stay close to the cracks, to the broken places, where people weep and cry out in pain. Stay close to the cracks, where God's tears fall and God's wounds bleed for us of love, for love of us. Stay close to the cracks where the light shines in and grass pushes up through concrete. Stay close to the cracks where wounds open doorways to healing and wholeness and life. Jesus stayed close to the cracks, the broken, the outcast, the outsider. Today, our theme word is worthy. I'd say the most frequent conversation I have with people boils down to this: am I worthy? This question and answer we believe about ourselves shapes so many people's lives and therefore relationships. This has been intertwined into my conversations for years as I thought about this subject. 25 years ago, when I was a daycare teacher, I had a boy who was kind of a troublemaker. He was the one who was always touching people when they didn't want to be touched, and he was the one who was always doing something that he was getting in trouble for. And one day, he was playing on the playground, and something came up, and He I don't know if someone got in trouble, I don't remember. And he came over to me and he said, well, I'm the bad boy anyway. And I said, you're not the bad boy, you're a good boy. And he said, no, I'm the bad boy. And I said, oh no, you're the good boy. I see you do good things all the time. And so he's like, oh. And he went around and played a little bit more. And then he came back to me and he said, I'm stupid. I go, you're not stupid, you're smart. And he said, I'm stupid. I said, you are a smart boy. I remember you did, and whatever he did that day, I reminded him that he was smart. And this kind of went on through the whole recess time outside in the playground. He would go and play, and then he'd come back and say something negative, so I would say something positive back to him. And upon reflection, I realized he was always the kid getting in trouble at daycare, but his home life wasn't all that positive either, and he was craving hearing something positive in his life. He was asking the question, am I worthy? And then a few years ago, I was in a small group, and I was one of the women in the small group. Name was, doesn't matter what her name is, small group. There was a woman who, she made sure to always go to the bathroom before she left the house, always. And then when she was out, she would not drink a lot because she didn't want to use the public restroom. And she wasn't a germ freak. See, she was a woman and identified as a woman, but was very masculine looking. And she had had many confrontations in the ladies' room, the women's room, can you flip that for me, Stephen? That were confrontational. And, you know, she'd walk into the ladies' room and women would say, you're in the wrong place. And then she would have to almost defend that she was a woman, or she'd come out of the stall and someone would, you know, say something like, why are you in here? You're in the wrong room. And it was pretty traumatic for her. So she did everything to go to the restroom at home and not in fear that she would have this confrontation while she was out. And again, asking, am I worthy? I know there are people in our churches, I know one family in particular, that have been in the church their whole life. But then, about 40 years ago, or maybe 45 years ago, their son was treated unkindly, either by an individual or a group of people at the church. And this individual or group of people told this man that he something wasn't right with him because he was gay. And from this time on, he has never stepped foot in a church. He isn't comfortable in a church because in his early years, he was told that he wasn't worthy to be in a church. The question comes up over and over again. Am I worthy? Hurts, brokenness may come from outside the church. Sometimes the hurts come from inside the church. The author of Luke Acts wanted his hearers to understand Jesus' care and love for the other. The centurion felt he was not worthy, even though he had charge of over 100 soldiers in the Roman army. The fourth verse shares that people of authority are saying the centurion is worthy of Jesus' help. Here, in this time, worthy implies acceptability by the standards of Jewish law, as well as gratitude for the building of the synagogue. A Roman soldier who loves the Jewish people illustrates the love of enemies. So he has friends who love him. In addition, when Jesus changes course and sets off for the centurion's house, he is taking a risk. A Jew who came under a Gentile's roof would risk defilement. But Jesus was willing to risk this to heal the centurion's servant. We all have times when we feel unworthy or broken. If we feel this way, sometimes then, logically, this means our friends and neighbors feel this way sometimes too. In our scripture today, Jesus changes his course and walks toward the centurion's house. Jesus does the same for us. Jesus was always for the broken and the outcasts. He spoke of the broken and the outcasts in the Beatitudes, and he healed many people, and when he spoke of the least of these. And this is just to name a few times. So when we feel like we are unworthy, broken, or an outsider, or an outcast, Jesus is with us. I think that this quote by Rachel Held Evans says so much. This is what God's kingdom is like: a bunch of outcasts and oddballs gathered at a table, not because they are rich or worthy or good, but because they are hungry, because they said yes, and there's always room for more. Our task as Christians is to imitate Jesus' example of being with the broken, the outcasts, and the outsiders. And I feel like Henry Nowell, I'm not sure if I said that one right, says it best. Nobody escapes being wounded. We all are wounded people, whether physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. The main question is not, how can we hide our wounds so we don't have to be embarrassed, but how can we put our woundedness in the service of others? When our wounds cease to become a source of shame and become a source of healing, we have become wounded healers. Jesus stayed close to the cracks and the broken. He taught us about love. Love even and especially of the broken, the outcasts, and the outsiders. Jesus showed that God's love was so open that he shared this love with this centurion who was not a Jew, represented the oppressive government, and may or may not have been a Christ follower. We are all broken and wonder our worth. The hymn today really struck me that if his eye is on the sparrow, he certainly is watching over me. Knowing God's love is given so freely, remember this. Mosaics are made from broken pieces, but they're still a work of art. And so are you. Amen.
If you'd like your prayer request read as a part of worship, pass your prayer slips to the ushers as they walk down the aisle, but just hold, don't start walking yet. Wait till we learn our new call to prayer. It's God help the outcasts, and you can flip to that. There you go. And we're going to first listen to this lovely woman sing it, and then we're going to try. So go ahead and flip the slide. That's why she's on Broadway. Go ahead, Dennis.
God help the outcast, hungry from birth. Show them the mercy they don't find on earth. God help my people, they look to you still. God help the outcast, for nobody will. God help the outcast, hungry from birth. Show them the mercy they don't find on earth. God help my people, they look to you still. God help the outcast, for nobody will.
I don't know if Ted shared this, but that may sound familiar because it comes from the movie Hunchback you did of Notre Dame.
Let us be together in prayer as we first have a time of silence. Then I will offer a spoken prayer, and then we will speak the Lord's Prayer together. Speak the Lord's Prayer in whatever way or language you feel closest to God, and take a deep breath, get comfortable in your seat, and allow the Holy Spirit to fill your consciousness as you open your heart to God. God of all power, truth, grace, you know the needs of those people and situations mentioned better than we do. If it be your will, we pray that you give strength, comfort, healing, and peace on those who are sick, lonely, sad, and afraid. May we ask for your blessing on our children, that they continue to grow in the love of the Lord. We ask that you enable us to help each other just as you help and love us. For every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, and everywhere we share your peace is only by your grace. Amen. Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Creator God, we are in heaven. Blessed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today your daily bread, and forgive us your trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our church's vision is to feed God's people, body, mind, and spirit. And that is what we all are all about. All are truly welcome here. Our family has been gathering at this place for 150 years. And you are now a part of this living tradition. Giving is a way that recognizes the source of all that we have and a way that we keep the family healthy. Don't forget to put your yellow attendance slips that look like this in the basket and in the plate with your collection offering. God created us in God's image. It is the bottom line of our worthiness. Please remain standing and join me in the unison prayer of dedication, in offering of our gifts as we have our day. May we not grow weary or do what is right, but commit to spring, healing the broken, feeding the hungry, and all those mercies which are such a part of your heart and hopes for our children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just as God claimed Jesus as God's precious child, so God has claimed us as God's own. You are worthy. I am worthy. Please remain standing and join me in singing, "You Are Mine."
You are worthy. Just quickly, next week we have an awesome preacher. It's our lay leader, Barb Nunn. So please be here. And Steve Bacon is going to be doing our children's time. So it's going to be a great week. So please join us. May you trust in God's promises to God's people. Peace, security, blessing, even when they are difficult to believe. May you know that God's news is good news, nourishing, true, even when people tell you it is not. And when you encounter doubt, may you strengthen your belief, guiding you to God's perfect wisdom and counsel. Amen.